traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Get informed, get inspired, and get connected. CannabisRadio.com presents NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice. The National Cannabis Industry Association is the only national trade organization representing the businesses of the legal cannabis industry. NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice covers a range of topics, including the rapidly evolving political and policy changes that affect our industry, news and events of importance to cannabis professionals, and features on companies, individuals, and campaigns at the cutting edge of the cannabis industry. NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice begins now.
Hello, thanks for tuning in to another episode of NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice on Cannabis Radio. I'm your host, Bethany Moore. I'm the Deputy Director of Communications at the National Cannabis Industry Association. I'm happy to introduce my guest today, Chad Braunstein. He's the founder of Philo and brings expertise gained during a career leading the sales and marketing teams of some of the largest businesses in advertising, media, and technology. His experience leading large-scale acquisitions, venture fundraising, strategic partnerships, and corporate exits has resulted in the scaling of several startups into national leaders. Under Chad's leadership, Philo's revolutionized marketing technology for highly regulated industries, allowing the most ambitious cannabis, CBD, and consumer brands to overcome the complexities of compliance at scale. Since founding the company in 2019, he's overseeing product development, marketing, capital raising, M&A deals, positioning Philo to solve the challenges of these fragmented and inefficient markets. So the Philo Compliance Cloud is a suite of software and services that is built to overcome these complexities of highly regulated industries. And I think anyone in cannabis is feeling that right now. So welcome to the show, Chad.
Thank you, Bethany. That, by the way, that was a great, great overview. I should use that as our elevator pitch. That was great.
You betcha. Well, there's a lot going on, and it's great to have some services and software out there, you know, to jump in and solve the problems of this industry, which is expanding at an incredible rate every day. But before we get into that momentum, let's slow things down and back it up a sec and, you know, get to know you a little bit better and your background and other things you've done in your time before stepping into this cannabis world. You know, what other kinds of work did you do before making the switch?
Well, I've always been an entrepreneur, and I jumped into, as you mentioned, ad tech, martech industry. And prior to starting Philo, I was running one of the larger organizations. And we work with, you know, brands all the time solving for something. It may not have been as highly regulated industry as cannabis, but, you know, long background working with beverage, bev and alc brands and CPG. Mm. Retail, et cetera. During running that ad tech company, I also started a dog walking company, believe it or not, where it's kind of like Wagon Rover in the early stages. And it's a funny story that most people don't know, but we were named top 15 innovative companies right ahead of Ease. This is right when cannabis was starting to even come out, but talk about irony. But so you know, just always had a passion for innovative projects, and was at that company that I was running for about 8 years, and kind of just felt the need and to do something different. And I was getting a lot of you know, demand and asks about cannabis quite a bit as Charlotte's Web was coming out and some of the bigger players. And I was like, wow, there's an opportunity here. The space is still undefined in terms of the regulatory environment and the advertising and data side of things. So mm-hmm. I started to, you know, really conceptualize and got together some of the my old band of people that I worked with in the past. And that's when Philo got born.
Gotcha. And you also mentioned working for the company focusing on dog walking. Is that right?
No, I started a company. I founded a company with another buddy in dog walking. We raised some money for it. And it was a, you know, another kind of very, at the time, very fast paced industry.
Oh, sure.
But also very tough industry.
I think I know. Yeah, I know lots of people who are in the dog walking and dog sitting world out there. So yeah, that's really cute. And, you know, we always want, we're always trying to figure out an excuse really to bring some puppies to NCIA events. So, you know, some kind of cannabis and canines or, you know,
yeah,
pooches and puffs. I don't know. There's something there.
Yeah, no, the thing is that why I came about is I was in a high rise at the time and, you know, traveling 4 days a week and my wife was working and, spent a lot of money in that industry. And there really wasn't like a boutique or a real-time service that in that time that came around. So that's kind of how me and my ex-partner started that business. And, then you started to deal with a lot of headaches, just like you would deal with running a retail cannabis company, different types of incidents that happen, but definitely a great experience and learning lesson. And, you know, always, like I said, trying to figure out innovative ways to think about situations as a consumer and how we can, you know, evolve that. So that's kind of how Philo got born too.
Yeah. Yeah. So on the technology side, there's a lot of similarities, I guess, that made sense for you to move into the cannabis space with that. Did you have any hesitancy to step into a industry that is still, you know, federally illegal? You know, there's still a lot of mismatched regulations across the country, things like that. Was there any hesitance there?
You know, from a career perspective, I come, you know, at the time, again, I was, you know, just built a great career for myself. And yeah, of course you're thinking, is this, going to hurt that work you put into it? But I honestly didn't care. You know, I was really intrigued by the cannabis industry. And like anything, Bethany, you know, we were talking earlier before you joined, but you've done 245 podcasts. You've been in the industry since 16 or before that. It's like, you know, it's fun. You know, you want to learn something new and the challenge was, I thought, worth the squeeze. And so, and then I went out and talked to other people about it and they're like, we want to do it. And, you know, I honestly think it was the best thing I've done in a while. It's been some of the most fun I've had and I've learned more than I could ever have asked for. But yeah, it was definitely, people thought I was a drug, you know, people that don't, I'm sure everyone you talk to, Mitch Kahn from Grassroots, anyone, when you first do it in your communities, they think you're a illegal drug dealer, right? They don't really know, people don't really know better. And then once you start to understand it and educate yourself, there's just so many aspects of the industry that help people. And it's very educational and learning, and, you know, I've learned so much. But yeah, it's been definitely nerve wracking when I started. It was very challenging, but I'm happy I did it. And, you know, we've had some of the best times doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, present day, I mean, you're fully in with your company working in the cannabis industry there. So what's the landscape with your company and what do you look forward to as we move out of hopefully this post-COVID world? We're getting there, you know, getting back to normal. How's the future looking? Is the future bright?
Yeah, I mean, so the future is great. I mean, when COVID happened and we were sitting there as, you know, an entrepreneur, we were like, what's going to happen, right? And then when they deemed COVID, cannabis an essential, you know, we grew really fast from there. So I think pre-COVID, we had like, I don't know, like 67 people, 870 people. And now we're 170 people. So I believe the landscape and the future for Philo and many cannabis companies is exponentially strong. And it's an exciting time. You know, we're growing. I think we have almost like 80 open head counts right now. So by the end of the year, if we can fill that, or by the Q1 of next year, we'll be above 250 people as a company.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah, fast growth in this industry for sure. And no shortage of puns as well. I'm sure you've noticed.
For sure. Yeah, of course. But yeah, I mean, it is a fast growing industry. And, you know, you and I have talked about this before, but you know, with New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut going rec, you know, there's as more markets come on, more growth happens, right? And so that means companies like us, we continue to grow, or any company in space that has a national presence when markets come about, you know, there's a lot of work to be done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Yes, absolutely. And we're going to talk more a bit about some of those states as well. There's a lot of excitement happening on the East Coast in particular these days. So we'll absolutely jump into that after we take a commercial break in a moment. And, you know, there's a lot of legislation moving in Congress as well. We're still, you know, breaking down the Cannabis Opportunity and Administration Act in our DC office there. And we're continuing to build on the momentum of the MORE Act and Safe Banking Act and so on. So all these elements coming together to hopefully see us getting out of a kind of strange time and back to normal, whatever that means, or the new normal, which we have an opportunity to shape. So that's also exciting.
Yeah, very exciting. I mean, again, that stuff also obviously is igniting the opportunity at hand and the growth.
Totally.
Even if it doesn't happen, when they talk about it, it still brings to light the industry and continues to make, you know, destigmatize it with more and more politicians talking about it and acknowledging what needs to be done.
We're chatting with Chad Bronstein of Philo. And we were mentioning just before the break some of those East Coast states. And your company's based in New York. You've got offices all over. But these new states, they're coming online in the East Coast. We've got New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, you mentioned. These smaller states, as opposed to like California or Michigan or even Colorado, is a pretty large state. These Northeastern states are a different animal, and they're moving toward cannabis legalization more recently. What are you seeing there through your lens?
We're seeing, you know, the opportunity at hand is, you know, large in those. Even though there's maybe smaller states, it's still a huge opportunity for the local governments, obviously. And why, I think we all know why as well, the governments are more open to it is they need the cash flow. Right. And I think for us, you know, we are a local hyper regulatory solution. So we work with a lot of the law firms as well as MSOs to really work to understand, take out the states, but each state has each local government has, you know, jurisdictional control over what they want to do in their specific area. And so, you know, that's where we come in and work with a lot of the law firms and MSOs to really stay ahead of what's being spoken about, what ordinances, taxation, zoning that are happening in those governments. But, you know, I would assume that with each state coming on, we'll see more and more of that. And not just here, but I think Florida becomes rec soon, you know, a couple of years from now, as other states. But again, local governments still can dictate what they want to accept in their specific suburbs or cities. So I think that's something that's important for listeners to know as well.
Oh yeah, that's absolutely something we see as well. Good, bad, and otherwise as well. You know, I mean, initially we could say, you know, San Francisco or Berkeley or cities like that, local legalized cannabis first before the whole state did. But, you know, that can also go the other way where an entire county or region will say, no dispensaries are allowed to open here, right?
No, I know. Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, if you can look at, you mentioned Michigan, but you look at Michigan and Illinois as an example, but, you know, now 2 years ago to when we started this industry, 2.5 years ago to where it's at today, you got a location, you got dispensaries popped up in every major suburban area in Illinois, same with Michigan. So if you use that as any sort of like indication of what could be in New York, for example, New York City, you look at Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts and Pret's of the world, you'll see that, use that as a, where cannabis would probably be in the next 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and let me quickly mention a couple resources on NCIA's website for our listeners. We do have our state policy map, which is an interactive clickable map of the US that just provides a highlight overview of some of the regulations and licensing info. It is just a drop in the bucket compared to the detailed regulatory information that one would need, but that's a great resource for a bird's eye view of some of that information. So I just wanted to mention that quickly as well. And back to these little states in the East Coast, I actually am from Maryland, and, you know, hung out in DC a bit, and Virginia is a little bit larger of a state, but Maryland's a teeny tiny state. It's interesting that each of these states have their own little world of laws and regulations. And there's something to say about the demographics of those customers in these states as well. Like, let's think about a California kind of typical customer, right? And then let's think about what a customer from some, like New York is going to be like. And that's just, you know, within the United States, we've got all these different cultures. So as they say, data is king. So this demographic data is super interesting that I'm interested to kind of pick apart as we get more info. Are you seeing anything so far from your world there?
Yeah, I think, you know, that's our philos outside of the compliance side. We are one of the, you know, larger data, businesses in space. And, you know, that's why mainstream is so interested in Bethany, right? If you use Bethany, for example, Bethany on paper, you clearly state, unless I see it on, I'm just using an example, but that you're buying weed, right? You're spending $200 on weed a week or $150 on weed. And there could be different reasons on why you buy that, right? It could be you have trouble sleeping or anxiety, whatever it may, pain, whatever it may be, right? And we, having that unique data set that we have in the space allows mainstream brands to really understand a different version of Bethany, because Bethany can go to Kroger, for example, and buy specific products weekly, but they already know that about you. What do they not know about you? And I think that this identifies a new behavior for other industries to really define their attributes of a consumer differently and learn more. And I think everyone at this point is learning something new about this industry that we never thought would be at this growth stage, but you can't deny that these consumers and the behaviors, there's differentiation in the typical way they target a Bethany during normal business hours or with normal products. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, for sure. I think that also kind of underscores the idea that, whether we are aware of it or not, or, you know, whatever our opinions are about it or not, about all the data and data privacy, there's still a lot of customer data that's being collected about us. And that's why those advertisements, you know, I can think about a unicorn pool floaty and suddenly Facebook is advertising it to me, right? But there's something positive there as well. It's like, I actually am getting things most of the time, except for my whimsies, you know, things that I'm actually interested in looking at. So it's good overall, I think, that they know that I like fruit gummies that help me, you called it right. I need it for anxiety, sleep, and pain. It's like you have my demographic profile right in front of you. Do you?
You know what though, Bethany, that's back to our early part of our conversation, which is you and I, now for you and me, it's like our version of English. But the people that don't know that, people just think when you come into cannabis, they're stoners, right? And that's, or just other aspects to like the negative side of it, people would think. But like, yeah, like there's so many different behaviors of why you do this versus maybe taking ibuprofen or something else for your pain, or taking Ambien for your sleep, whatever. This is a new way that's natural. And so these attributes, they wouldn't be defined unless they knew this typical set. And one thing you mentioned too, from a privacy perspective, all data that Fuel at least collects is opt-in, opt-out, CCPA compliant, et cetera, that has to follow all the consumer protection acts, right? So The data is, you know, data, most people that are in the data business have to follow those protocols to make sure that, you know, Bethany wants to be targeted versus not wants to be targeted.
Right. Fantastic. Well, we've run out of time today. I really appreciate you taking time to join us. Philo, your website is hellophilo.com. Is that right?
That is correct.
Great. And that's F-Y-L-L-O, Philo Compliance Cloud. Awesome. Well, hey, thank you for your time today. I look forward to running into you and your team at the trade shows this fall. And hopefully I'll have a podcast studio situation happening again. I think that's the plan. So I'm pretty excited about that. Yeah.
Well, Bethany, thank you for having me. I really enjoyed my time on the show and definitely looking forward to meeting you in person.
Absolutely. Yeah. So everyone head to our website, thecannabisindustry.org, and find out more about the trade shows and more. All right. Thanks everyone again for tuning into another episode of NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice. Until next time.
The opinions expressed on this CannabisRadio.com program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of CannabisRadio.com. Any rebroadcast, republication, or retransmission of this program without proper consent is prohibited.